Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Natural Born Hunter podcast. And tonight, we're going to start out with this. Phil, what is better than getting 10% off on your Mountain Ops purchase?
Getting 11% off your Mountain Ops purchase?
That's true. And what's better than that?
Well, we can walk this all the way up, but let's just go ahead and jump right up to 20% off, Will.
Yes, let's not annoy our listeners by going increment by increment till we get to 20%. If you want 20% off your next purchase from Mountain Ops, go to getmountainops.com, enter the coupon code NBH20 at checkout, and boom, you get 20% off.
I encourage you to do so. I love my Mountain Ops.
Hell yeah, they've got great proteins, pre-workouts, they got little BCA pills that I love, multivitamins. I mean, if you want to get jacked, just take a little Yeti and you will be well on your way.
That's it, man. And you can't beat the new flavor of the Yeti. So check it out, everybody. Once again, NBH20 at checkout.
Also, we are able to provide to you a pretty sweet gift code from Maven Optics, which is NBH gift. If you enter that at your checkout, they will send you some free Maven swag with your purchase. I mean, these are probably one of the hottest binoculars out there today. They're fully customizable, you know, when it comes to camo patterns, colors, and not only that, they're great glass. I'm going to have Phil tell you a little bit more about that because he had a really nice expensive pair of binoculars and he sold them and got himself some Mavens.
Absolutely, man. I mean, when you look at us as hunters, we want the best bang for our buck, right? And not everybody has $1,500 or $2,000 or $2,500 to spend on a pair of optics. So why not get as close to the quality of what those $2,000 pair of binoculars are for half the price? You know, I mean, Maven's put a excellent product together. They've eliminated the middleman and brought you, the hunter, you know, the best product they can put together and kept it in a reasonable price. So, you know, if you don't believe us, you know, they're out here, they're finishing first or second in all kinds of awards when they're putting their binoculars out there for an independent review. They just took second in a recent review on their spotting scope. And there was over 30 entries into that review. All the big boys were in there too, ladies and gentlemen. And Maven, yes, on their new spotting scope, took second place in there. I mean, if that doesn't tell you, you know, that they're putting out top-notch quality products, you know, I don't know what is. Listen to me, it's money. Listen to Will, you know, they're giving us and our listeners the opportunity to, you know, look. If you're watching, check out this sweet hat I got on. I mean, that's a sweet hat right there I got with my binos, right? So check it out, man. They're gonna kick you a free gift. I encourage you to support the companies that are really keeping the hunter in mind.
That's right. So it's for Mountain Ops, NBH20 for 20% off your purchase at checkout. And for Maven, it's NBH gift at checkout. Try them out.
Mavenbuilt.com.
That's right. That's right. So get on over there and try them out. And now go on and enjoy the show.
When in Rome, right?
Right on. Are you end up going with that buddy like you said?
I'm going to go with a different buddy, a guy from my gym. We got to talking last night, and he's like, well, I don't have anything to go with. And I said, well, neither do I, so I'll just go with you. He's like, all right, that's cool. So I'm going to his area. Never been to it, so we'll see.
You going?
So no cheat.
You going to go hunt with a spear?
I can't get close enough, man. I have enough trouble with a bow. Phil saw me trying to throw rocks at marmots. Wasn't very good at that, so.
Marmots are tough, man.
I can't believe how many of them little things you guys got out there.
They're everywhere, man.
They're eating on Brady's pack.
Were they really?
Yeah, first day, yeah. I even forgot about that.
I had to smoke one.
You shot it?
Yeah, he was getting a little too close.
We had to establish dominance where we were camped.
You had to establish dominance over the marmot community.
Phil, we never had a problem with them again, so
no.
I think it worked.
I tell you, man, we got to camp, that first day, and we had been up since like what, 2 o'clock or so, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Drove up, hiked in, and we were both beat, and it was right in the middle of the day. It's like, we're gonna crash out for a little bit and get some rest, and then we'll go, you know, late afternoon, early evening, do some glassing up top. We'll hike up top and glass. Well, we're laying there, and I've got my vestibule kind of rolled back on my tent. I just got the screen, like the mesh, and I kind of rolled over a little bit, and I looked, and I saw something run across. So I was like, what the heck was that? So I picked my head up. Well, all of a sudden, here he comes back, and no, he ran across, and I was like, I got up, and I didn't think nothing of it. I laid back down. Well, then I start hearing him gnaw, like something chewing on something. So I got up, and I peeked my head out, and I can see him eating on Braden's pack. Braden, get up. There's a marmot eating your pack. So he gets up.
And I was like 3 feet from his eye to eye with him. I was like, oh, yeah, there is a marmot right there.
The sucker runs off on a rock about 10 yards. I grab my bow and one of my extra arrows and proceeded to relieve him of his duties.
Ken ringed him.
So you think he was the ringleader of the marmot community, and that's why after that they were not showing up anymore?
Yeah,
either that or the freaking snow, man.
Yeah, so let's get into that. So you guys went up for, was it 3 days or 2 days this weekend?
It was actually Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it was like 3.5 days about what we were up there.
Yeah, so yeah, about that.
And how high in elevation were you up there?
There's parts that are over 13. There's certain peaks up there that are like 13.3, I think. So, and trust me, the deer. The deer were up there.
So I like to always start in here. How did this hunt planning all come about?
Last year
I was a tag along for Phil on the ram hunt, and then we just tagged along for this one too. So. It's Phil's department.
No, man, we actually applied last year for the same unit, and I drew and he didn't draw, so I turned my tag back in. I was like, I can keep my points. Ended up drawing together here this unit, and it's similar area to where I sheep hunted. No, not exactly, but it's wilderness unit. It's high mountain. You know, you're basically packing everything in, and so we hiked in, and we had, like I said, we had scouted it earlier. What it's, I guess it's about a month ago.
Yeah, and the end of July, last week of July, I think.
Yeah, so we scouted it, saw some good deer. You know, kind of made a game plan to go in, and I tell you, it was not what I expected. Initially, I mean, we get up there to where we're starting to hike in, and there's snow at the peak. You know, the one mountain that we kind of hiked around and started going down was that peak goes up to 13, I think, at 13.2 or 13.3.
Yeah, it's pretty.
But anyway,
high.
So yeah, we hike around and it's like full on, like windy, blizzard, snowy kind of conditions almost, and we started coming down. And I'd say probably, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours into the hike, weather kind of seemed to break a little bit, and it started to clear up. So we hiked down through one basin, up over, you know, we 12.7, 12.8, down to like 11.5, 11.6, back up to 12.4, 12.5, back down to like 11.8, 11.7. And then we go back up, and we're camping right at about 12,000 feet. And I tell you, that country, it's over anywhere. You're at least gaining or losing, you know, 1,000 to 1,200 feet of elevation going through every basin.
It's not let's go right over there. Let's go over there. It's going to take us a couple hours, but let's go over there.
Oh, yeah.
So we actually went in. We went in this time a little bit different than we did scouting, and we hiked over to where we had scouted from a little bit, and that was a haul. It was that was definitely a haul. That was that was day one. That was definitely a long haul compared to when we were scouting. I was like, oh, it's right up there. We just can go right up there. And it's not like that.
So day one,
yeah, it was a
high country mule deer hunt out of the trucks. What's the next move?
So our plan was to hike in and find a spot to camp and then get up and start glassing and see if we can spot some deer to kind of start making a plan for the next day.
Yeah, opening day being the next day, and that's when we got in there, and we had to do some marmot control and clear some camp, and then hiked up and got to a pretty good vantage point, and got some glass out and got on some animals. Had one buck in particular we had picked out that we kind of decided that we wanted to chase the next day, or at least come find him the next day. We figured he'd be back where he was because he's kind of isolated. And that was about that for day one.
Yeah, like I said, we found camp at, it was just shy of 12,000. Hiked up. We actually, that first evening, we saw a couple, one group of bucks that was five or six, I think, in the first basin. Yep. There was a single buck all by himself. There was another couple in like two basins over that we can just barely see into. And so day one, we got up early. We got up to start hiking up to the top of this ridge that we can see into two basins. You can basically over one ridge or over the other. And then you can see across through the basin that we hiked into, and then you can see past the one of the other basins that we're looking into, to you can just see the bottom of another one to where we actually scouted a little bit more. And so we see a few different groups of bucks. We decided we had seen the two bigger bucks we had saw were like two basins over, so we make the commitment to hike our can way over there. And halfway, and Braden's hiking in front. And pretty soon I just see him, his hand go up and he starts waving. I'm like, what the hell is this? Look up beyond his hand and there's a freaking hunter up there. And here we are thinking, there's not going to be that many people back here. You know, there's not going to be that many people committed to come this far and, you know, make this kind of a hike. Well, shit, we start talking to that guy and he's like, oh yeah, there's two more guys down below. There's another guy this way. And so we pretty much just told the guy, hey, we hiked this far, let us just glass a little bit in here. And and that's what we did, man. We glassed a bit and
we could see the other basins from that vantage point differently. So it's always good to do that. So you can see around rocks, different angles, that kind of thing. So we could look back into those other basins too. So it wasn't all lost.
We start hiking back, and it was, I don't know, shit, it was probably another halfway through the basin that we had came in through, and pretty soon we see a big group of bucks start crossing over the top of the ridge, going kind of somewhat in the direction we were going. And so we made a decision right there. We kind of, we snuck around, and we started climbing up the ridge to try to get in front of them. So we went from, you know, it was 11:06. I think it was 11:05 or 11:06 at the bottom of that base when I checked my watch. And we were up 13 plus, and we finally got to the top of that ridge where those bucks were moving towards. And, shit, that probably took us another hour and a half. Would you say, Braden, it was about an hour?
Yeah.
It was about an hour and a half to just climb straight up that ridge. And
yeah,
hands and knees, man. I mean,
it was...
Well,
that was when I took the picture of you using your... stabilizer as a trekking pole. A
stabilizer.
It was that steep.
Yeah, it was vertical. So we get up there, and finally we kind of got into position where we thought we were going to be close, and we had decided that Braden was going to be up first. So when he makes his play to go up and over, I kind of went down on the side of the ridge to try to get a vantage point for video. And when I go down, I can see these bucks that they were moving towards us at the ridgeline. And Braden got so far, And then I moved down below, and he, I don't know if he got cliffed out or he couldn't see, and I told him to keep going because they were coming, and then he got cliffed out. Well, meanwhile, I'm watching these bucks, and they're flittering towards us, and one of them was a really big buck, good-sized buck. There was four or five other ones that were just smaller, decent bucks, and I can see the tips of their antlers as they're walking towards us, and I even ranged one of the smaller ones that it was like 45 or 47 yards. Well, I'm looking up at these deer, and they're hidden behind some rocks, the way the kind of the top was there, the mountain, and Braden's literally on the other side of this peak, just like this little dome peak. He's probably 30, 35 yards away from them and can't see them. And I'm trying to tell him to go over. Oh, yeah, it was literally that, you know. It was just it's like this giant rock in between them. And I'm trying to tell him to go over. Well, these bucks, they just got uncomfortable, or whether they smelled one of us or they heard something, they started moving back the other direction. And we ended up not getting not making a play on those bucks. They went out the other way. But that was, I mean, after that, we hiked back down and got back to our vantage point, and it was an exhausting day, man. I mean, I don't know how many feet of elevation gain and loss we had, but it was miserable. You know, that country is just, you can see so far, but just to get somewhere, you know, you're committing at least half the day to try to get there, you know, to find something, make a play, get in position, you know, check the terrain out, try to make sure you're in the best position to advance or not so that they don't see you. And, man, I tell you what, like I said, we both were exhausted at the end of that second day.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the way I describe it to people, it's relentless. Like, it doesn't stop. There's no easy part to it. It's relentless. It just keeps beating on you. And there's so many basins. There's so many hiding spots in those basins. You have to try and get at them from different angles to see. There could be deer you can't see from one side. So you're constantly having to move. And like I said, moving is not a simple thing. It's not like walking down the street, you know. So it the trail described pretty well. It's tough country for sure.
Yeah, and it's you know, so that was kind of we actually came back to camp with still about, what, 40, half an hour, 45 minutes of daylight left. And we had spotted another group of bucks that we had seen since the first evening, that they were still hanging out in this basin, and we had decided we were just going to get up early and try to get closer to them and then see where we can make a play. But, and so that's kind of how the first day of hunting, second day being in there ended. We hiked on day three, which would have been the Sunday morning, the second day of the season. We hiked around the big basin that we were camped at on the one edge of, and we get into position, and I tell you what, it was, you know, we start hiking through, and then you get to where you're running out of cover and you're crawling and everything's wet. And then the sun starts to come right before the sun comes up, when it just gets real cold in the air, and we're all wet. I'm laying on the ground. I'm trying to move. And we're 400 or 500 yards from these deer, I think. Would you say about that far, Braden? First, that second morning?
Yeah.
So we're 400 or 500 yards away.
They're walking towards us. Yeah.
And, you know, start to get cold. Well, finally we decide that we can't get any closer to the direction we're going. So we're going to let them try to bed down, and then we're going to pull out and go around. Well, as we back out and we kind of recoup and warm up and start having a little bit of something to eat.
Coffee time.
You have some coffee. Yeah, and I happened to peek up over the rock that we were kind of laying behind or sitting behind. And I looked to see if those deer were still there, where I can't find them. Well, I happened to look out of the corner of my eye, and they're running the other direction. And I could not figure it out. And I started glassing. Pretty soon, I look at the top of the ridge, and there's a hiker coming down. He was 150, 200 yards from them and blows them out of the canyon.
No trail, nothing. Yeah, just came over the top randomly.
And happened to just come right down through there, you know, and I don't know whether he saw him or didn't see him or just didn't care or whatever. So Braden and I are sitting there, and at this time he had spotted another couple bucks that were, you know, basically another, I don't know, a couple mile and a half. I mean, it seemed like 2 miles down the ridgeline.
I Google Earthed it, and it was like 2.1 miles away.
It was 2.1, yeah, so it was a ways.
That's a long ridge line.
We eat our breakfast. I tell you what, man, we get there and we're looking at it and we're like, can we get up there? I don't know if we can get up there. It's like cliffs up there. So we're like, no, I think we can go this way. So finally we make the decision. We start moving up there. And I was kind of hiking in front at a few points. And then it got to the point where I was full on like cliffhanger on some of these yeah. freaking rocks.
There was a point I looked at Phil and I was like, man, you have kids. Like, you have kids at home. That kind of thing.
It was stupid. It was seriously that stupid. We hunted like that last year when we sheep hunted. And I'm thinking to myself, last year, it's like, well, it's a sheep tag. It's once maybe every 12 to 15 years. You know, you just got to get in on this country and you got to do what you got to do. And I start thinking about it and it's like, I like hunting mule. I don't care for the mule deer meat that much. I'd prefer elk over mule deer any day. And I'm over here borderline, like doing some stupid shit to where you fall and you may end up just finishing your time right there at the bottom of that hill. And I turn around and I'm looking at Braden a couple times and it's like, dude, this is stupid. This is ridiculous. Well, what do? We just keep pushing forward, right? We keep going and we go over, I don't know, it seemed like three or four of these cliffs up and down. And I was convinced. I said, okay, up over this next one, we're going to probably be 100, 150 yards away from these deer. Well, we get up and we start sneaking up and climbing up to that ridge line and over these cliffs. And I look over and I'm like, what in the hell? We were still a half a mile away, man, at least.
Yeah. At least a half a mile away still.
Yeah, maybe three quarters of a mile away. And I just looked at Braden and I said, you know what, man, this is getting to be, if we get something down up here, it's going to be rough getting it out. And we sat and we had some food and we started talking about it. And Braden's like, well, I think I can make a play through here. And I was like, all right, man, let's go. I'll go with you. I'm going to try to video. So we hiked, what, another 35, 40 minutes to get where I stopped and you continued.
Yeah.
It was somewhere in there.
It was about that. Yeah, somewhere in there. Because I think it was like 9 o'clock when we left. When we left the spot where we spotted them, it was 9 o'clock. When we got over there, it was about 2. So it was
yeah, it was a long way. And we stopped for what, 25 minutes maybe for lunch-ish?
Yeah.
That, 25, 30? So we get up to this vantage point and I got to a good spot on cliff and I told Brandon, so I'm going to sit here and video. I'll kind of try to spot for you where I can. And he dropped his pack and he starts making his move as we were probably, I don't know, 200 yards from the deer at that point.
Yeah.
And it was on from there, man. These deer bedded on this kind of the top of this cliff where they were almost, it was a little bit of a saddle almost in between two rocks. It was weird. But all that you can see on these bucks was the tips of the one buck's antlers, and that's all you can see. We knew there was two bucks up there. So Braden starts making his way around. Wind was good. I got the video camera rolling, and there was a couple times where he looks at me because I don't think he can see, and I'm like, it looks like they're up, but they're going the other direction.
Yeah, I couldn't see him at certain points because I was on the same ridge as them, and I was above them, but I was having to lay sideways on the hill because they could see me. It was one little rock I could keep between their head, their eyeballs, and me, and so I couldn't see them. And there's a couple times I looked down there and I couldn't see anything, and I had to look back at Phil and he's like, they're walking, and I had no idea where. But they eventually just kept working back and forth over the top of this ridge and bedded down again, and I caught their antlers and was able to see their antlers for a while. And started making more moves, getting closer.
Yeah, and it was awesome to watch, man, because I guess that there was times I had the video camera going and I'd look in that direction and I'd lose him. I mean, he's all camoed out, he's blended in very well with the rocks and the background, the grass. And finally I find him he's getting closer and getting closer, and I'm looking. I'm like, he's got to be within 50, 60 yards. He's got to be close. And he's inching closer and inching closer. Well, then he dips over the other side of the horizon, or of the ridge line, where I can't see. So at this point, I shift the camera to where I can see one buck. I can see his rack. And I'm just sitting there watching, and I'm just waiting. I know it's going to happen any minute. And he just keeps inching closer and inching closer. Well, pretty soon, as he's working his way down the ridge line, I can start to see the top of his bow. I start to see his arrow. And I'm seeing him kind of work his way down. And I ended up getting to where I got the video camera, where I got Braden in the upper right side of the screen. I got the deer in the lower left side of the screen. And I just got everything in the shot. And it wasn't super zoomed in, but you can see everything. And then I'll let Braden kind of finish the closing stock there from there.
Yeah, I lost them. I could see the tips of their antlers, and I had to dip down and go out of sight, like Phil said. So I lost them for a little bit. And I didn't know if they had blown out, or I didn't know what had happened, but I didn't hear anything, and I could see both escape routes, and I didn't see anything. So I knew they had to still be there. They were doing something. So finally I was like, well, I gotta, hell with it, I gotta go for it. And so I took off my boots, and there was a little grassy patch right on top of this cliff edge that I was going to sneak down and come over the top and see where they're at. So I drew my bow, took a few steps, and at full draw I was walking down and looked where they were bedded before, and they weren't there. And then I looked over into the other basin, and they weren't there. And then I just caught movement on the left of my eye, and they were down. They were working down the chute right next to their cliff that they'd been bedded on, that little grassy patch. They were feeding down that way, and that buck was sitting in the back, and he was feeding facing me with his head down, chomping away. And so I put the pin on him and made a horribly terrific shot, I guess I call it. So I hit him way back, but cut his femoral. He was, like I said, he was cording to me pretty hard. I actually, in all honesty, was trying to spine him right there and then put another one in him, because that was a shot I had. And I ended up hitting him in the back of the leg, and both bucks took off and scampered down underneath him, and I couldn't see him. And the other buck that I hadn't shot stopped on the next spine over towards Phil, but below Phil. I didn't think you could see him. Could you, Phil?
Yeah, I can see him down in the kind of in between us.
Yeah, when they
yeah,
stopped
when
down
they first
us,
ran out.
Yeah, he sat on that ridge 53 yards from me broadside, because the sun was behind me, so he couldn't figure out what I was. So he was sitting there staring at me, but I knew I'd just put an arrow in that other buck, so I just had to watch him. Then he jumped off the other side and met up with apparently what my buck had gone underneath and was behind it. I couldn't see. They met up and were going over the spine that actually Phil was on, but Phil was probably 150 yards above him. And as they crossed over that, the one crossed over just fine and disappeared on the other side. And mine, the one that I'd shot, got to the top and wobbled, and I could see down the back of his leg was just pouring blood. And he bedded down right there, and I was like, good. You know, I could watch him. He was probably 125, 150 yards away on the neck, on the spine, and he was bedded there. So I was watching him, and I could see him bleeding out. So just was giving him his time. Then Bill was kind of seeing what was going on. So he kind of snuck down and tried to get involved. And, so then I saw the buck blew out. The other buck blew out on the other side, down the hill. My buck didn't move. So I was like, yeah, okay. He's not going anywhere. He's done. Well, at that moment, or 5 minutes later, standing there watching him, he gets back up and back in real wobbly, and he drops off the other side, and I can't see him anymore. So I ran down, grabbed my arrow, and started hiking up to meet Phil, who was coming down with both packs, and talk about what happened there. We met up, and I told him, I said, hey, I got to get another arrow on this deer. He's hurt, but he's not he's still moving. He's not moving very well, but he's still moving. He had left a pretty good blood trail all the way around that mountain. So Phil said, let's sneak down. I'll stay high, but let's sneak down lower here and try and circle around and see where he's at. Well, it wasn't 30 yards where you said there he is, was it, Phil?
Yeah, I mean, we just barely walked a little bit over the rise, and we can see him down laying there.
Yeah, so he was laying there on this point, looking over the whole valley, which is kind of cool. He laid down there to probably die, and so made for some epic scenery, and snuck down and put a anchoring arrow in him, and he was done. He took out his lungs, and that was the end of it for him. So I was really, really happy with that.
Yeah, and it was, like Braden said, man, he died in a spot where it was just, it was very picturesque, because to that buck, it was, everything's cliffs down there, but every once in a while, there's like a little bit of a flat spot where you can almost, you can almost see like Simba and the Lion King, right? He gets up on his perch, his high rock, and he kind of looks over the valley, and this little spot, this little outcropping that just kind of built up with rocks, and there's a little flat spot on it, the deer decided to lay right there. And just kind of taking it all in one more time, Braden and I were talking, it's like, man, that deer just had to take it a little bit more in one time before he, because he knew he was done. But it was perfect, man, for pictures, where we ended up, skinning him out and deboning the meat and everything. It was awesome scenery, and it was awesome, and it was kind of short-lived because a storm started to roll in right about that time, and the shit sandwich was about to begin, because there was from that point on, the little conversation, all that, that was all good, man. I mean, the hanging out and being able to experience that, it's great. But as far as everything else that leads after that, it sucked, man. It just flat out sucked.
There's no doubt about it. It was miserable, man. That Sunday night was that was a shit show. I don't know if there's any other way to put it. It was getting him out. We had a plan originally we were actually going to drop into the valley. Once we cut him up, we were going to drop into the valley and take him back up the valley on the trail. It was a longer hike, but we figured we'd drop down in the valley and we can move on the trail pretty well and we'd be all right. That didn't work because we got about 200 yards from where we got him, or got him all done and down the hill, and Phil and I looked at each other and I'm like, I think those are cliffs in front of us. So we dropped the packs and scouted it without the packs on, and the only solution we had was we could climb down this little spot maybe and then lower ourselves down with ropes. That was really our only option, or just haul it back pretty much the way we came over, which we knew was going to be miserable, but we also knew the other way was miserable. So we made an executive decision to go back the way we came. So we started that in motion, and that was painful on all levels. I told Phil after that, I was like, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm pretty frazzled emotionally and physically. So.
Well, it was, that storm, we were right at the back edge of the storm. So the storm had kind of rolled in, and we're hiking from west to east as the storm's kind of moving kind of southwest to northeast, I guess. It was weird. So we were hiking, and we were staying kind of on the back end, getting sprinkled on a little bit of rain, not a big deal. Well, about, what, I don't know, 45 minutes into our pack out, thunder and lightning, and you're up there at, 12.5, just shy of 13,000 feet, and you hear that stuff go off, man, and it gives you a whole different perspective on lightning. And we're sitting there, and we're in the wide open. It's like we've got to hike this back to our midway point, drop it somewhere, hang it so we can get back to camp, and then the next day we're going to pack everything out and head out. But so we start hiking, and it's like we – we were getting more into the storm. So then we'd slow down a little bit, and then we kind of, you know, I mean, it probably took us two and a half hours to get from where you shot it to our midway point, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was at least that, because we loaded him up, if I remember right, we loaded him up at about 5:30. And we got him at the midway point right at about dark. I mean, we got to the midway point, and our goal was to get off. Our goal was to get back to the trail by the time it got dark, just because we didn't want to be on that nasty cliff climbing stuff in the dark. We're okay in the trail, whatever, no big deal, but that cliff stuff in the dark would be no joke. So that was our goal, and we barely hit it, but we hit it. We actually both threw on our headlamp right after we catched the meat.
Yeah, it was, and at that point, it's raining now, it's dark, and we, like Braden said, we were on the trail that we can follow the trail all the way back to where we camp, but it's still in good conditions. It took like an hour and a half, hour and a half minutes or something like that to hike that back. Well, now it's kind of raining, sleeting, and it's dark, so we're hiking this trail back. Well, we get to where we're probably a midway point, and it's full on snow at this point. You know, it's like a wet snow. And I think we'd both put our rain jackets on. So we were dry upstairs for the most part, but our legs got soaked. My legs got soaked, and my pants got soaked to where water was dripping into my boots from the top, just from my pants being soaked. So, you know, we're hiking, and it's like, you know what? You just, at that point, you just grit your teeth and you just keep moving, because you know that nothing's going to get back to camp and get out of the wet clothes. So we kept going. Well, when we come out the bottom of the basin, we start hiking up, and we know that we're at the top corner of this basin. And so we make the corner, and we start walking up to this kind of this bench, the lower end of it. Well, I don't think we couldn't see, but maybe 30 feet in front of us, 30, 40 feet in front of us with the headlamp.
With the lights, yeah.
The snow, it's dark, and then we're following the trail, and we know the trail passes, what, maybe 40, 50 yards next to our camp? It wasn't very far.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm in the front, and we've got, I don't know, 3-4 inches of snow, what seemed like, in places. Well, I lost the trail. So we start just hiking, and pretty soon, we're like, well, shit, we're too far close to this ridge. So then we start going the other direction, hiking still in the right general direction, but we're just kind of zigzagging. Well, we were having to use the lightning in the backdrop that would light up the horizon, the mountains, to guide us. Because, like I said, we couldn't see in front of us, but maybe 20 feet. So
yeah, we had to wait. We'd stop and wait, wait for the lightning to strike and silhouette that skyline, because it showed the saddle we were underneath.
Yeah, and it took us, it was almost 2.5 hours, I think.
Yeah, it was a haul, man.
It was a long way, and got back to camp, and it was one of those things, man, where I shed my wet clothes and I put on my dry base layers, and I didn't even eat. We were exhausted. I felt like I was going to puke, headache, feel like I'm going to puke. So I'm laying there. I didn't sleep for probably an hour and a half. I just laid there kind of getting warmed up. I had a gallon Ziploc bag right next to my face because I felt that I was going to puke. And finally, I don't know, it was like midnight or so, I ended up getting up, walking out of the tent because I thought I was going to puke. And I walking around a little bit, getting some air, come back, and I actually ate a little bit, and I felt better, and I crashed out. Well, I wake up, I don't know, maybe 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I hear Braden outside the tent, Phil, yeah, I'm going to shake your tent off. It's full of snow. So he's shaking the tent off, and I'm just like, all right, man, go ahead. So, I mean, I was out. I was exhausted. And it was just such a wet snow that, I mean, the tents held up fine, but they were starting to take on a little bit of weight from that wet snow. I mean, there was probably, I don't know, 6 inches of snow at some places on the ground. But I would say that it, with as wet as the snow was, I don't know how much moisture we got up there that night. It was unreal, man. It was.
Well, remember looking back at that waterfall?
Yeah.
That waterfall was, when we were hiking out, we could look back and see there was a trickle when we'd gone in. When we looked back at it going out, it was a full-on roaring waterfall. So, and it was coming out of the basin. So they got, there's a lot of moisture up there.
Yeah, it was rough. So we ended up getting up in the morning. I'm using my jet boil to try to dry out my boots. Got the flame going. And
how'd that work
out? And I got the boots upside down. You know what? It got them about halfway dry. They were still real damp inside, but I had to take some video of me drying out my boots with the jet boil. So that may or may not find its way into the video at some point. And we finally got up, we got some food, and we felt like we were rested enough, and we packed up camp and started hiking our way back to the meet. Well, it took us, I think it was about, was it just shy of 2 hours to get to the meet? An hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, something like that?
Yeah, an hour and 45 minutes, yeah, something like that.
So we get there, we pack up the meet, we stopped, had a little bite, and then we, at this point, again, you think about it, we're on one end of this basin, you got to hike basically down to the bottom of the basin, hike around the ridge, start going back up to, I think it was like 12-4, or about where we left the meet, 12-4, 12-5. So we load up the meet, and then it's back down to 11-6, 11-5, and all the way back up to like 12, I think it's like 12-9 is where the truck was. And I tell you what, man, it was 1 foot in front of the other. It was that last hill where we went from, I mean, it was like a, I don't know, 1,200 feet elevation gain that we hiked. It was a count your pace type deal where, yeah, it was like I was counting 100 steps and I'd stop and I'd rest. And I'd rest for a minute and then I'd go another 100 steps and I'd stop. And then it got to where I was counting 80 paces and I'd stop. And I was going down to 60 paces and I'd stop. And I got to the top and Braden's like, yeah, Braden's like, I was going 40 yards at a time, man. That's all I can do. And we got to the freaking top where the truck was, and it was snowing again. Wind, snow, miserable. So we're there trying to demarmot proof the truck and get everything thrown into the truck and start hiking and start driving back down the mountain because it was miserable up there, man. It was, I've been in snow during archery season, but it's been like actual snow. It's not been like blizzard conditioned snow. And I mean, we got wet the one night. I it was a little bit miserable, but I wouldn't say that I was ever cold or I was ever, you know, not happy with how the gear. I was really happy with everything as far as gear-wise because it was a knucklehead was too lazy to put my rain pants on that made my boots get wet. And
Or take my
freaking gators. Yeah. So that was it, man. I mean, I was pretty happy with everything else. But Braden ended up shooting a really good buck and it would have been another full day endeavor if we would have gotten two bucks down. If I was able to have gotten a shot on that second buck and put him down, that we would have been there for a whole nother day. And I mean, it was miserable, man. It was awesome and it was miserable at the same time. But I guess it's just that country, you know. It's just very unforgiving. But I don't know. I mean, getting it done, it was pretty rewarding just being up there and being able to get everything on. You know, watch Braden tag out on that buck. It was pretty cool.
No, it was a really cool experience. I enjoyed the hell out of it, I guess I could say. I mean, for what we do, that's what we do. But that was hard stuff right there. That was uh, that was a gut check for me for sure. But to come out with a nice buck is always pretty rewarding and makes it worth it. It makes you remember those times a little bit better. So I enjoyed the hell out of it, man. It was fun. But like I said, I'm still beat up.
Tell you what, I cinched my boots really tight. You know, we're hiking up those hills, and the last thing you want to do is roll an ankle or, you know, you got. I mean, I weighed my pack. I don't know if you weighed your pack, Braden, but when I got home, I weighed my pack, and it was like 56 and change without the meat. So
without the meat.
So it would have been up about 110 that I had, and if your pack was in that same area, I mean, we were both in that 105 to 110 pound range with the packs, and
yeah.
I know I had my boots. I'd cinched them up a little bit tighter purposely right when we loaded up that meat. Well, I don't know if that in combination just with the hike and everything out, my toes on my right foot are still barely starting to get their feeling back. They've been numb for 3 days.
Oh, man. That's wicked.
So it's something that, I mean, I feel good. My legs feel fine, you know. My hips aren't, you know, I know that from a preparation standpoint, I'm 100% happy because, you know, like I said, other than my feet getting jacked up a little bit, you know, we were both kind of like, hey, man, you know, it's you're starting to feel it in your back. You start to feel it in your hips when you're climbing those hills and your knees. And physically, I feel fine. It's just my, like I said, my foot, my right foot was numb a little bit and my toes. But I think I just tightened up the boots a little bit too much.
Maybe, yeah, that's good though. Yeah, like same, you know, on the same note on the physical side. Yeah, I feel like I did something, but I feel good. Like I mean, I worked out yesterday, and moved a little bit and worked out again today. So it's I feel fine. I'm ready to go. I can head out again this weekend. So. We'll see if I can make another miserable weekend out of it.
No, I know. I hear you. I got a workout in last night too, and I did the workout, the curls for the girls, and I did some chest. I had to do the high school look good workout. So I just let my legs rest a little bit more, but it was good.
We did a big squat workout, so my legs are smoked, but it was good. It was good. Last night, I'm walking around and my legs are cramping up. So,
one of the fine sponsors of this show is Maven Optics, which you can check out over at mavenbuilt.com. Use the coupon code NBH20 at checkout and get yourself some free swag if you do happen to buy some nice optics. And I got to know, Phil, what did you take with you? How did they perform? Give us your honest breakdown.
So I had the 11x45s, and the binos are money, right? I had the spotter as well, and it's a 25-50, I think by 80 millimeter, I believe, is what the spotter is on the specs. And, man, I tell you what, the glass is clear, picking out the deer, really getting to focus in and see, you know, size of deer and which ones are the shooters. Super impressed with the Mavens. I'm gonna actually this weekend. I'm gonna be going up elk hunting, and I'm gonna go down in size to the 8x42s as a little bit smaller bino. Where I elk hunt, there's nothing above tree line. Once you get to the top of the mountain where I elk hunt, it's like 10.5 or so. So it's treed all the way up. So that smaller, more compact binocular is all I need, because if I'm glassing from one meadow out to the other or just across a meadow, I mean, it's 300 to 500 yards at the most. So I'm gonna go down in size, be a little more compact, a little bit more mobile. I like to get really aggressive with elk, and I just like to be able to move quicker. So I'm gonna be running the Kafaru 22 mag also as a pack, as opposed to the 26-inch frame with AMR that Braden and I both ran on the deer hunt. But can't say enough good stuff about the Mavens, man. Like I said, they were money all weekend, and just this week it's time to shift gears. So having multiple options in your arsenal is really good as far as different types of animal that we're going to be chasing.
And we talked a little bit about it, Phil. One thing that I really learned, I guess, and that I'm going to change on my setup is I use those 1145 Mavens too. And everything Phil said about it, I love them. Their glass is great. Everything's great. But once you get up to about an 11, you get up to that high magnification, glassing offhand becomes a little difficult because any little shake makes things a little blurry. So you're not actually using the full potential of the glass. So I think what I am eventually trying to do for next season is get a pair of the 15s from Maven and glass with those off a tripod, and then get a smaller set of either the 8s or 10s in that smaller body to run on my chest. Because, you know, once you respond pretty well with 8s or 10s on your chest, and then pull out the big rig and glass them real well from a tripod. So I think that's the route I'm going to aim to go next year. Go a little smaller on the chest and just bigger binos on the tripod. So.
Yeah, no, that's it, man. I agree. I think that those 11s were nice, but I think that just freehanding those 8 buys or potentially 10 buys are going to be a little bit better way to go. So, no, I agree. They're money, man. Don't forget to, if you guys are checking some out, you get a new set of Mavens, type in the code NBHGIFT.
Yeah, for, Maven, some if free you're swag. Listening, I'll be, Maven, if you're listening, I'll probably be buying more binos, just so you know.
I think we might be having Brendan on next week.
Oh, right on.
They got new products out and do a little bit more in-depth episode covering optics.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, pretty excited about that.
Very cool.
I know I'm getting.
What about you, Will? What are you doing, man? What are you hunting? What are you doing?
I'm hunting foam, brother. I got a end of the year kind of King of Kings tournament coming up. I'm shooting in. You have to qualify into. It's like a local shooters thing. More about like pride than anything. Past 2 years, I finished second place in it. So I'd like to, you know,
take first.
I'd like to take first, but I don't know if that's a realistic goal given the amount of time I've been spending shooting as compared to previous years. But I'd like to just go in, do well, have fun. So I'm getting ready for that. Deer season, man. I'm beyond excited. Found a new spot on the property this year. Got a couple shooters in there. One that's at least an 8-pointer, a big 8. He might be even bigger. There's a bear in another spot we've been hunting. And he's been spotted around here. And then, between those two and bear season opens here, shoot, it might open this week. And I gotta look. It opens really soon, though. So just to get out in the woods and even just, you know, give it a shot, spend some time in a tree, I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I see you've been in the gym. I saw your little 190-pound snatch complex, man. That's big stuff.
Thanks. You know, I've been working a lot on my snatch, my clean. I just feel like an awkward teenager trying to kiss a girl for the first time every time I clean, man. It's just not coming together the way the snatch does. But, you know, you keep chasing those little goals, right?
Yes, sir. That's what keeps you coming back, right?
Exactly. Phil, you still thinking about dabbling in the CrossFit world?
I don't know. I'll just tell him, Braden, man, I haven't purchased a workout kind of routine program regimen for a long time, and I just purchased one. It's all body weight stuff. It's like I think it's a 60-day program, but I want to get into kind of a strength, you know, time period a little bit more here later in the winter. But for right now, through hunting season, I'm gonna stick with just kind of trying to stay with the body weight movements, you know, keep my cardio up a little bit, and then go from there.
Well, Phil doesn't need any different training programs. He beat me up the mountain by like 25 minutes. So he's doing just fine in the fitness department, man.
I believe
it. No, it wasn't 25 minutes, I tell you that. It was more like a couple steps, but
Feels more like 45.
Dude, I tell you what.
Yeah. He's like, I had to stand in that cold for 45 minutes.
I thought you were dead.
It was brutal, man. It was good, though. It was good. Like I said, that whatever it was, 2.5-ish hours of that first meat pack hour, it was just cliffs. It was just up and down, up and down. That's what really, I think, gassed me more than anything.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah, man, that was, yeah, I mean, I don't know, I got some video. What's that?
Go ahead.
I said, I got some video of the hunt itself, and I've got some of the, you know, the leading up and some of the afterwards, so I'll be putting video together for Braden to check out here pretty soon, but I mean, it's hard to describe to people how the conditions up there. You know, it's just it's really hard to paint a picture as to what it's like, because you look at a picture and like oh, that's awesome, that looks like, you know, big mountain, big country, but then you start looking about just the little details of what it takes to navigate around that stuff, and it's, you can't explain it unless you've been up there.
Yeah, that's kind of been the thing everyone's been asking me. They ask me, you know, how far back were you? And I'm like, it doesn't matter. We could have been a mile back, or we could have been 50 miles back. That's not what the hard part was. The hard part was up, down, around, over. That's where the hard part is. That's where that country just is different.
To see him walking that ridgeline at full.
Sorry.
It was badass. It was badass. So I'm looking forward to being able to. I'm gonna edit the video as best I can. Then I'm gonna have Santino take a look at it and see if there's something he thinks I should tweak or fix on there, and then go from there. I don't know that we have enough footage to do something for a film tour type deal, because I think those are like 8 to 10 minutes edited, and I think that what we have is going to be more like 4 to 5 minutes. If we were to get, you know, 4 or 5 hunts a season on video, and there was one of them we wanted to try to put together for a film tour, then, you know, you've got some, you can dabble with that, and you still got your other stuff you put online and go from there. But we'll see, man. I'm going to be going with my cousin Jesse this weekend. I'm going to be as conscious as I can to run the freaking video camera, because when you're hunting, and especially if you're getting into elk, dude, it's tough. You're trying to maneuver, get in a position. Yeah, and you almost have to have a designated camera guy. But we'll see. I'm going to do the best I can, and we'll see where we end up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to head on over to getmountainops.com, type in the coupon code NBH20 at checkout, and get yourself 20% off your supplements. Braden, thank you so much, and congratulations on your successful hunt.
Thanks, man. There was Phil and I together. That was a team effort, but appreciate it, man. Appreciate you having me on. So it's always fun to talk about them. So.
Heck yeah. The Natural Born Hunter Podcast. Wake up, chase your dreams, repeat.